Fortunately for me, with respect to the countless hours of work I did developing a chromosome model, the number of histone octamers in the cross-section of the 30-nanometer fiber, as to whether it's 6, as in my currently preferred model, or 4, as shown here, doesn't affect the outcome nearly as much as one might think. Neither the manner of association between adjacent 30-nanometer fibers nor the ratio of protein to DNA in the whole chromosome are at all affected by altering the octamer count. The manner of association between adjacent 30-nanometer fibers we'll look at in a moment. As for the chromosomal protein to DNA ratio, the number we gave in Part 2 was determined solely by the protein to DNA ratio in a single octamer. The three-dimensional arrangement of multiple octamers played no part in the calculation. The only important effect of going from a 4-octamer model with a channel to a closely packed 6-octamer model is that the former, being less compact, will presumably occupy a larger fraction of the nuclear space. The difference is not likely to be critical, however, because, taking the human eukaryotic cell as an example, the entire genome probably doesn't occupy more than about 20% of the nuclear space in any event. With respect to the manner of association of adjacent 30-nanometer fibers, it's precisely the same as the manner of association of adjacent octamer cores within the individual fiber. This statement may seem confusing now, but it will become clear presently. In all the candidates for 30-nanometer fiber structure that I looked at, there were precisely 2 types of interactions that could be invoked to impart stability to the structure. These are the very same interactions we've looked at several times previously in both the protamine DNA and histone DNA models. In Part 2, these interactions were described in slides 244 to 253, which are the source of the images that follow. First, there were the rectangular arrays of charge interactions between the negatively charged DNA phosphate groups and the positively charged lysine and arginine residues in the N-terminal beta strands. Secondly, there were peptide backbone hydrogen bonding interactions between adjacent beta strands, exactly the sorts of interactions found in beta sheets, such as keratin. Here's the close-up view of the charge-charge interactions again.